Father, we just want to say thank you. Indeed, you are a righteous Father, a glorious King, a wonderful Lord. We bless your name this morning. Thank you for the privilege to be here. Thank you for the privilege to, oh God, gather as a family to celebrate your goodness, your mercies in our lives. Thank you for January. Thank you for February. Thank you for March. Thank you for April. Thank you for May. Thank you for June. Thank you for bringing us to the last Sunday in the month of June. Father, we are grateful for the blessings, for safety, for protection, for open doors, for healings. Father, we are grateful, Lord, for, oh God, frustrating and putting to naught the counsel of the enemy regarding our lives. Father, we are grateful. We thank you, Lord, for making us victorious. Thank you for making us more than conquerors. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, from the depth of our hearts as individuals and as a church, Father, we say, please accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. Lord, this morning we are gathered again to hear you speak to us. Please, Lord, I am asking that everyone that has come today, Father, grant that a word will be spoken to our spirit in the name of Jesus. Give us a listening ear. Give us an obedient heart. Grant that your word will find expression in our lives. Thank you, gracious Father, for in Jesus' precious and mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Did I hear the church say amen?
Amen?
Welcome somebody by your right or left. Tell the person you look beautiful. Whether it's a man or a woman, tell the person you look beautiful. You look beautiful. You look beautiful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, we have some time, so I'm going to do something quickly. Quickly, don't worry, you're going back to your seat. But look around you. Just turn and look around you. Look around. Some people are sitting with either their spouses or their children or their friends. Now look for somebody that is not your spouse. It's not your friend. It's not your child. Go and know the person. Know somebody new today. Sister Sylvia, go and know somebody. Know somebody. Quick, 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 quick. So go to somebody that you don't know. Go and know the person. Ask the person, what's your name? My name is this. Introduce yourself to the person. Quick, 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 quick. Dr. Mackie, please go and know somebody. Know somebody. Go, 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 go. Everybody. No, you don't know everybody. If I show you somebody now, you will not know. Ask the person's name. Ask what the person is doing. Ask the department of the person. Yes. Know somebody new. Get a new friend today. Aha. We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are children of the kingdom. We are family. We are one. Family, we are one. Those who came early to church and were in the Sunday school, that's what we were taught. This morning, we want to bring it to a wrap on our study on kingdom stewardship. Kingdom stewardship. And this morning, I have a lot to share with us, and I'm going to try to summarize it and be very brief at the same time. But I want you to follow me intentionally, so that you'll be able to grasp what God wants to pass across to us this morning. And my prayer is that every one of us seated down here will not miss what God has been teaching us from last month, in Jesus' name. Two things or two questions you're going to ask yourself this morning is, what have I learned about kingdom stewardship that I have to start doing? What new thing have I learned about this topic that I have to start doing? And then the second one is, what is it that I've been doing as a steward that I need to stop doing? Two questions. What new thing have I learned that I need to start doing? We have been talking about kingdom stewardship. for the past 2 months, what is that new thing you have learned that you think God is telling you, listen, in this area, this is the new thing you have learned, start putting it to practice? And what also is that you have discovered in the course of this study that you have been doing, but this study has come to open your eyes that you need to stop doing? That is the two questions you have to ask yourself if you need to grow. And that's the two questions that brings about transformation. What am I doing that I need to stop? What is something new that I have to start doing? Because any man that continues to do whatever he is doing over and over and expects a different outcome is just a fool. Because he's deceiving himself or herself. So for you to have a different outcome from what you have been having, then you need to change what you are doing. You need to change what you are doing. And so I want you to look inward this morning and ask yourself those two questions as we bring to a close our discussion on kingdom stewardship. There's still so much to say, but we'll hold it here for now. And then we'll open another chapter on it again sometime in the future, because the word of God is ever dynamic and there's no how you can exhaust it all. Pray God give us understanding in Jesus' name. So this morning I want to share with us, like I said, on the topic, the profitability of kingdom stewardship. The profitability of kingdom stewardship. Kingdom stewardship is profitable. And I want to share with us briefly on that. But as we go on, before we go into looking the profits of kingdom stewardship, I want to share with us that there are two kinds of servants. How many kinds of servants? Two kinds of servants. Two kinds of workers. Two kinds of laborers, two kinds of servants, even in the house of God. Two kinds of servants, wherever you go, there are two. In my study, I discovered that there are two, just two kinds of servants. And it's in Scripture, Matthew 20, verse 8. So you give me KJV until I tell you otherwise, okay? Thank you. Matthew 20, and verse 8. It says, so when evening had come, so when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward. He said unto who? Please, I want us to communicate. He said unto who? And what did he tell the steward? Call the what? Is the steward a servant? Talk to me. Is the steward a servant? What about the laborers? They are servants also. And give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Two kinds of servants. The first kind of servants are called stewards. And the second kind of servants are called hirelings. Everybody say hirelings. Say it like you mean it. Say hirelings. A steward is not a hireling. That's what I want to emphasize this morning. A steward is not a hireling. I hope I'm pronouncing it correct. H-I-R-E-L-I-N-G. A steward is not a hireling. A steward is a different kind of servant from a hireling. However, there are many people in church who think they are stewards, who people look at them as though they are stewards. But when God looks at them, what God sees is a hireling. When God looks from heaven, he doesn't see a steward, he sees a hireling. From this scripture, he said, the Lord said to his steward.
his steward. Another translation will say to his manager or to his overseer. So there are those God categorizes as stewards. And now it is the steward that even the Lord say, go and pay other workers. In that scripture, did you see where the Lord say, pay the steward? He asked the steward to pay others. Just follow me. We are going to see something. Now the question is, what is the difference between a steward and a hireling? As I'm talking this morning, I'll be looking inward. And I want you also to look inward. So that you will ask yourself this question. Am I a steward or a hireling? The first difference between a steward and a hireling is that a steward takes ownership. Ownership of that which the master has given unto him. So a steward has what I call an ownership mentality. Ownership mentality. Somebody called that ownership mentality a stakeholder's mentality. Stakeholders are not the owners, but they are part of the business as though they were the owners. That's the mentality of a kingdom steward. He is a stakeholder in the business. He is a stakeholder in the enterprise. He is not just one that comes to work and go. He is one that works knowing that, look, whatever is happening here is going to affect me. That is a steward. A steward knows that if the business doesn't go well, it will affect him. A steward is not just serving for a paycheck. A steward is serving as part of the company. The other day, our sister, Mommy Oyibo, was teaching, I think during the women program or so. And she talked about, you can be somebody working in a bank, okay? You are just a worker in the bank. But when a worker starts buying shares in the bank, it's no more an ordinary worker. It has upgraded from a worker to what? A share what? So that worker now will be very careful what he's doing. Why? Because anything that happens to whatever is there will affect him or her. That is a steward. That is a steward. In the business of the kingdom, you are a stakeholder. Let me tell somebody to tell somebody. Tell somebody by your side in this church. I'm a stakeholder. Are you sure? Stewards are stakeholders. They carry an ownership mentality. They don't say, hey, it is their work, let them do it. I don't care. In as much as I just come, I sit down and go, I'm okay with it. Whatever is happening is their business. No, that is not the mentality of a steward. A steward says, it is our father's business. And if it's not going right, I am involved. We must make it right. That's the mentality of a steward. How can you be in a department and the department is falling apart and you don't care? I have seen people who said, I don't care. If it's too much, I go just change church. Bro John, you never hear people like that. If it's too much, I go change church. There are other churches. But that is not the mentality of a steward. That's not the mentality. A steward takes ownership of it. Knows that I am involved. Whatever happens here affects me. It is the business of my father. I am not just a hired servant. I am not just an hireling. I am part of this business. I am a stakeholder in this matter. And because of that, my voice must be heard. If it's not going right, it affects me. If it's going wrong, it affects me. If it's going right, it affects me. And it's as much as I know that I am part of this enterprise, I must ensure that it goes right. If you are a father or a mother and you have children and then there's a problem in the house, you can have one of those, your sons or daughter, who is very nonchalant. He doesn't care. Maybe he's even the one that has a lot of stuff. But he doesn't care what is happening. Every member of the family is going through challenge and the guy is just comfortable. Shall you clap for him? He's doing well. But There are a lot of people in the house of God like that. So you've got to ask yourself. That's why I said we should celebrate the sanctuary keepers. They are wonderful people. Yeah. That's why I said we should celebrate them. You don't cajole them. You don't push them. Listen, that work is not the work that people celebrate. They are not standing in front of the church. They are not holding the microphone. But without them, you cannot sit here. Imagine one Sunday we came and they refused to come. And then one of those unions have come to do all those their mess here. Eat all their rice and scattered everywhere. And then we'll come Sunday morning. Remove my jacket. Keep president. Remove his agbada. Drop on side. Then we'll start sweeping and start mopping. Before we start church, then you will know how useful they are. So the first difference between a steward and a hireling is that a steward has an ownership, a stakeholder mentality, while a hireling has what I call entitlement mentality. Entitlement mentality. If it goes well, I am in. If it goes bad, I am out. I am just there for my paycheck. What I can get out of it. I am just there just to know how much will be accrued to me. They put you in a committee and all you are looking is how much money will be left so that we will share. That's a hireling mentality. A hireling mentality does not have passion for the work. What drives him is his paycheck. In as much as that is satisfied, the hireling is okay. But that is not for a steward. You saw what the master said there, that scripture where we read. He said, he told his steward, okay, go and pay them. Pay all the hirelings. Let them go. There are people that come to church, members of church, workers in church, they are just like the hireling. And what the Lord is saying is that you just come, I need the blessing. All your prayer, Father, bless me. All your cry every day you come to church. Lord, give me food. Lord, give me money. Lord, give me clothes. Lord, give me car. Lord, give me the... Yes! The Lord is going to give you because you are a hireling. But thereafter, what next? After the car, after the clothes, after the bank account swelling, brothers, sisters, what next? So a hireling chases things while a steward chases the person. A hireling chases things, runs after things. So if you are a worker in church and all that craves you, all you long for, all you run after is things. You just like the performance kind of stuff, but your heart is not in the work. You are a hireling and not a steward. And not the steward. A steward is love driven, while a hireling a steward is love driven. He's driven by love. In our Sunday school, we said that one of the things you do when you are truly in love is to give it what? Time. Is to give it time. But I want to show us another thing. Aside from time, all those who are in love with something or someone always serve. Lovers are servants. Talk to somebody by your side. Say lovers are servants. What defines true love is service. Is service. So a steward in the kingdom is love driven. He's not driven by reward like a hireling. He's not driven by the pay like a hireling. He's driven by love. Oh, I love my master. The work he's doing it not because he's expecting a paycheck. He's doing it because he loves the master. Because he loves the master. Stewards are love driven. They are love driven. Are you driven by love? If you are with me, say amen. Amen. There's a scripture I want to show to us. I just hope I have it here. But let me show you this. John chapter 12. Give us verse 26. John 12, 26, quickly. Thank you, Jesus. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also my servant will be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. We were going to come back to that scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13. Deuteronomy 11, 13. Thank you. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to do what? Talk to me, church. To do what? To love the Lord your God. And to do what? And to serve him. Love precedes service. Anyone that puts service ahead of love is a hireling. A true steward is serving because he loves. He's not serving out of compulsion. He's not serving out of a show up. He's not serving because he just wants to be a man pleaser. He's doing it because he loves the master. Will he be rewarded? Yes. Even though he knows that he will be rewarded, but he is not driven by the reward. He's rather driven by love. What drives you as you serve? What is your driving force as a steward in the house? What is your motivation? If your service is not love motivated, if your service is not love driven, then you ask, well, a hireling and not a steward. Why do you do what you do? Is it because you love the Lord? Or because you have other motives behind what you do? Number three, a steward possesses an inheritance mentality. An inheritance mentality. A steward is not just working for a paycheck. He's working for an inheritance. For an inheritance. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3:23. He's working for an inheritance. Not just a paycheck. Not just, Lord, give me clothes. Lord, give me shoe. Lord, give me that. No. A steward knows that even whether I have this thing here or not, there is an inheritance awaiting for me. You see, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Next verse. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. Of the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Oh, remember Abraham. Abraham had a faithful steward. What was that his name again? Eliezer. When Abraham didn't have a son, he went to God and said, God, you have not blessed me with a child. And you know one born in my house, my steward, Eliezer, will become my heir. Eliezer was not the only servant. Eliezer, there were several other servants, but Eliezer was the steward. Abraham loved him so much like a son that even when Isaac showed up, later on, God blessed him with Isaac. And Isaac was to take a wife. Abraham left that great assignment in the hands of Eliezer. He knows the in and out of Abraham. He said, Eliezer promised me that my son will not take a wife from these people wherein I am. You will go back to the land where I come from and take for my son a wife. That's a steward. That's a steward. Joseph showed up in the house of Potiphar in Genesis 39. There were several other servants, but by service, Joseph distinguished himself and was not just a servant. He became a steward. Why? The Bible says he was in charge of everything. The master left everything in his control. Once again, I ask you, friends, are you a steward or a hireling? Stewards make sacrifices. I think that's number four. Hirelings run away when the work becomes tough. They run. John chapter 10, I think, right? John chapter 10. I think let's see that. John chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. Thank you. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, not the steward, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming. And what will he do? He abandons the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Next verse, please. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I like that last part. He careth not for the sheep. A steward is not just about we want to get results even at the detriment of those you are leading. First of all, a steward cares for whatever the Lord has committed into their hands. How much care, how much love do you have for TCRs? How much love do you have to see that this church grows? How much love do you have to see that your department flourishes? How do you care about the spiritual health of the church? We'll tell you whether you are a steward or you are an hireling. It's not how long you have been in church. It's not how long you have served. But the question is the heart of it. Behind your service, what is the motive? The Lord told them, he said, man looketh at the outward appearance, but God looketh at what? The heart. The heart. You may appear as Eliab, all belled up physically. People look at you, admire you, say a lot of good stuff. But God does not, is not moved by that. God looks at the motive, the heart behind your service. And that is indeed what gives you an inheritance as a steward. How much sacrifice can you make for God? I'll serve you forever. I'll serve you forever. I'll serve you forever, Lord. I'll serve you forever.
I'll serve you forever.
I'll serve you
forever. I'll serve you.
Make that a promise this morning.
Lord.
One more time. Lord, I'll serve you forever.
I'll serve you forever. I'll serve you forever. I'll serve you forever, Lord.
The church is going down and you are in the council and it does not shake you. You don't care. You are the head of the women fellowship, and the women fellowship that used to be 20, they are now 5. It doesn't move you. You still sleep from 6 to 6 and you still get up, come and smile, and you are not pain in your heart. You are a youth leader, and the youth fellowship is looking as though it has become turned to something else. people are living and you are not moved. Nothing moves you. You know very well that whenever we gather, it's as if we are going now for a village meeting, as though the Spirit of the Lord is no longer in our midst, and yet nothing moves you. It's just normal. That's the spirit of an hireling. But a steward will say, Father, not at my watch. Not at my watch. Not at my watch that this department will die. Not at my watch that what you have committed into my hands will die. Not at my watch that I will be in this church and things will not be right. Not at my watch that I will be here. And instead of focusing on you and ensuring that your project is fulfilled, ensuring that your purpose is executed, not at my watch that I will be running after men, running after things instead of running after God. Not me, God. Who are you serving? God thinks or man? As I wrap up, as I told us, every true steward inherits a reward from God. Because God is a just God and God is a rewarder. Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us that God is a rewarder. You see, he rewards those that diligently seek him. God is not a robber. He is a rewarder. And he rewards his stewards with an inheritance. Ruth chapter 2 verse 12 quickly. Ruth 2:12. He said, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Give us Isaiah. Isaiah. Please, you can take down those scriptures. Isaiah 45 verse 19. Quickly. Isaiah 45 19. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. You cannot be a faithful and diligent steward and ends up a non-entity. It's not possible. Every true kingdom steward ends up an institution. He said, I have not told you to seek me in vain. Every true kingdom service brings a reward. When you serve God diligently, when you serve God faithfully, when you serve God out of love, when you serve God sacrificially, you inherit a reward. And I pray for somebody here, your reward will not miss you. You inherit a reward. And one of the rewards you inherit as a steward is the reward of honor. Time will fail me to break that down. But give us that scripture we read earlier. John chapter 12 verse 26. Is the reward called honor? If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, what will happen to him? What will happen to him? Him will my Father do what? Honor. Him will my Father honor. The Hebrew word for honor is interpreted with. Weight. Or heavy. If any man serve me, my Father will make him weighty. And the Greek word is interpreted priceless. Priceless. That is honor. A man that God honors cannot be dishonored by circumstances, cannot be dishonored by men, cannot be dishonored by systems, cannot be dishonored by institutions. And that honor is born out of service. I pray for every true servant of God here. The Lord will honor you. Amen. Your amen is sounding as if you are not in church. I say God will honor you. Amen. Maybe I should add one to that. Joshua chapter 1 verse 1 to 2. Joshua 1, 1 to 2. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Everybody say arise. Joshua was not among the elders. Joshua was not among the leaders. Joshua wasn't a leader of any clan. Joshua was a servant, a minister to Moses. But through service and stewardship, when Moses died, God didn't go to the elders to look for a leader. God didn't go to the ordained ministers. God did not go to those who have been in the church for donkeys of years. God did not even go to those people who have been chiefs among the different clans. God said, this one that has served faithfully, my servant, is the one that I will exalt. Somebody's exaltation is coming. He says, the one that I will promote. And God lifted Joshua from a mere servant to become the leader. And he became the one that guided the people into the promised land. Even Moses, with all his exploits, could not enter. But God lifted his servant. And it was his servant that took them to the promised land. And listen to what he said in the book of Joshua 24:15 quickly, as we wrap up. Stewardship brings promotion and lifting. He said, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. He didn't learn that when he became a leader. He learned it, that it was service that took him to that position. And even in that position, he knew that what would sustain him there is service. And when I was looking at this scripture, you know what? Something struck my mind. And let me share with us. Stewardship is not a gift. Stewardship is not a calling. Stewardship is a choice. You choose to serve or not to. Just like love. Love does not happen spontaneously. You choose to love. Stewardship is a choice. And I leave you with this choice this morning, brothers and sisters. Have you chosen to serve the Lord? Have you truly chosen to serve Him? The way you are handling the things of God, if it were your own business, will you handle it like that? No. If it were your own business, will you really handle it like that? Stewardship is a choice. I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord.
I love you.
Bow down your heads. We are praying already.
Forever. I love you.
Forever.
I love you. Forever, Lord.
I love you forever.
I love you forever.
it until you have the understanding of it. Let's say, I serve you forever, Jesus.
I serve you forever.
Are you singing, church?
I serve you forever.
Make it your prayer this morning.
I serve you forever, Lord.
I serve you forever.
I serve you forever. I serve you forever. I serve you forever, Lord.
We're going to take that song again, but I pray for you this morning that as you serve God faithfully, diligently, as a steward, may you inherit honor from the Lord. May the blessing of the Lord rest upon you. May your service in the vineyard never be forgotten. May the Lord himself lift you. May the Lord himself give you influence beyond your imagination. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now sing that song with the whole of your heart. I serve you forever.